540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Wow.
There were more deadly Israeli airstrikes in Gaza overnight, including parts of the south that Israel had declared safe zones. It comes a day after President Biden met with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Tel Aviv and received assurances of help for more than 2 million Palestinians trapped in Gaza. Correspondent Ian Lee reports from Tel Aviv.
President Joe Biden returned to Washington overnight after his war zone visit to Israel. While there, the president said his priority is the release of nearly 200 hostages being held by Hamas, and he pushed to get humanitarian aid to Gaza.
If you have an opportunity to alleviate the pain, you should do it, period. And if you don't, you're going to lose credibility worldwide.
Israel's prime minister announced the country will no longer prevent aid from entering into Gaza through Egypt.
Protests around the world to call attention to the plight of the Palestinian people. This woman joined a rally in New York.
We are here. We are their voice. We're here to support the cause. We're here to make sure that everybody knows that Palestine has to be free.
President Biden will deliver a primetime address tonight. Congressman Jim Jordan is refusing to give up his fight to become House Speaker, despite the fact that he's losing support among lawmakers in his own Republican Party.
I already proven I can get from the most conservative members of the conference to the more moderate members of the conference. So it's important that we get the last few.
Yesterday, he lost two more Republican votes. Some GOP lawmakers who oppose him say they've been getting credible death threats. A second Russian-American journalist has just been detained in Russia. Alsu Kormusheva, who works for Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, is accused of failing to register as a foreign agent. Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich has been held for alleged spying in Russia since March. You've just cracked down on password sharing and pumped up revenue. So what does a top streamer do next? Netflix says it's raising prices for basic plans from $10 to $12. CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur.
It all leads to the question, how much are people going to be willing to pay and how many streaming services are they willing to stick with?
The password crackdown boosted subscriptions by more than 10% in the third quarter. The Las Vegas Aces are WNBA champions again. They won their series against the New York Liberty 3-1 last night. Top ace, Asia Wilson.
It's hard getting back to the finals, but to win it again, it's 10 times harder. And I'm grateful. I'm going to go to war with these wounded warriors every day.
S&P futures down 3. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. It doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I always like to go back to what Tom Cruise said. Just take a walk.
That's where you get your advice.
Well, don't you remember that long time ago, Brooke Shields talked about postpartum depression going on medication? He's like, you should just go for a walk around the block.
That's so like a man.
More great words from men.
There's a segment right there, Greg Buck.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Thursday, October 19th, and another beautiful day to have you up here up north. From wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or the Civic Media app or by podcast, by Twitter or by YouTube, but apparently not Facebook. As I'm looking at all my little controls here, it looks like Facebook is having trouble with their live streams. People reaching for their radios right now, hopefully, or the Civic Media website and trying to find us, and we hope they do. However you get here, nice to have you in the state of Wisconsin Sense, where we unpack the news for you every weekday morning here. Here's what's on tap. Last gasp or ominous sign. This week's events in Madison and Washington show how elected Republicans are taking their party as far to the extreme right as anything we've seen in our nation's history. We ask if this is a harbinger of things to come, if more voters continue to embrace authoritarian actions, or is it the dying gasp of a political fringe that's gotten too big for its britches and is due for a comeuppance by the voters? We talked to Joe Zepecki all about that in this week's headlines. He's in D.C., so for all I know, he could be in the running for speaker. We'll see. One of the many great things about the Affordable Care Act is that screenings for things like breast cancer are done at no charge. We're going to talk about that in our second hour in Hometown Health with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. But as she notes, if the screening comes back with an abnormal result and that requires further testing, those tests aren't covered and could cost thousands of dollars, and patients might put it off. So we'll talk about whether it's time to amend the Affordable Care Act to help cover, again, not just the screenings, but the further testing that could lead to an earlier diagnosis of breast cancer. We'll cover that and other topics related to breast cancer prevention, again, in our second hour on Hometown Health. We'll get the weatherology forecast from meteorologist Jennifer Fuchitsky in our next hour. And finally, the return of Mr. Honeymooner, Luke Mathers, makes it back to the Civic Media Radio Metroplex to, well, I don't know what he's doing down there, Sam. Probably, is he like throwing his weight around because he's a boss again after 3 weeks away of not being the boss?
I don't know.
You know, on his honeymoon?
Or? Like, I've tried to talk to him, but he's been in a lot of meetings. Apparently, he actually has work to catch up on, which is astounding.
All right. Well, we'll find. I didn't know if he'd be like all bossy and back in business mode, or if he'd be, you know, some people come back from a really good vacation and they're still kind of floating and not really plugged in. And so I guess we'll see which Luke Mathers we get later on, won't we?
Yeah, I guess so.
What are you up to down there? I feel like I should be seeing an apron on you and like a little chef's hat and some flour on your face. What is it you're baking down there?
I baked some homemade bread last night.
Okay. Now, is this like a bread machine? Do you throw a lump of frozen dough in a pan? What are we talking about?
No, here? Like, I don't know. I don't even follow a recipe, really. I just kind of mix stuff together and hope it turns out. But
you mix stuff together, you caveman. Well, this is how some of the best things got discovered. Like,
that's
hey,
true.
Look at this. I can turn this wheat into bread somehow or another. All right. So how'd it turn out?
Pretty good. I mean, I made some toast with it this morning.
Okay. I don't know if you're too young to recall when like bread makers, little bread machines were like all the rage, like every wedding gift was a bread machine for couples. And I hardly see those anymore. And I don't know if you've seen them. I know I've got one down in the basement, but you know, like everybody else, you kind of used it for a while, probably used it too much, you know, too much warm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was the air fryer of its day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we started doing something wrong, like the dough wasn't rising as well, were we just consistently buying bad yeast or whatever, which is all to say, I'm rather jealous because again, warm, fresh bread is absolutely the best.
Oh, it is. It's so good.
You have to decide whether to go with, you know, some butter on it, or do you go the sweet route? Do you put some jelly or something on there? It's just, oh, I'm going to have to take a break.
Getting
here.
Getting hungry now,
I am. Unfortunately, I've got just an old loaf of store-bought bread, and like I said, it's at least a week old, and it's not going to be nearly as fresh, but I'm glad that you got to enjoy that. I hope you brought some to share around work today. Did you bring anything
Not
to
today, but I will have to.
Okay.
I made two loaves, so I got plenty of it.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay. All right. Sounds good. If I sound a little tired this morning, and sometimes Thursdays, you know, are rough. You get later on in the week, and, you know, I almost needed a snooze alarm for the first time today, which is very weird for me.
I hate to see it.
Who was I? I was talking to somebody. I can't recall if it was on air or off air, but like they have like 9 or 10 snooze alarms that they go through. I mean, that sounds like a lot, but it was
an ungodly number.
Yeah. Why not just set it for the time you got to get up and then get up and go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I that's why I've never set a snooze alarm on my phone. I've always set a second alarm just because I don't want to fall into that habit. But today was one of those days. I could have used a couple more minutes. I recall lying there half awake and not knowing any idea what time it is and saying, oh, come on, don't be like this. Turn over, just get some more sleep. And say, okay. So I turn over, close my eyes even tighter. And then the alarm starts to go off. And I'm
it's
like,
always
no,
when it happens. It's always
no,
when it hits.
It's not time for that yet. But alas, it is. Let's take a break here. We'll take a look at some sports. Badger volleyball team in action last night, the baseball playoffs, and then we'll unpack the news as well. Hey, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday, when you're here, you're up north. Nice to have you here. We'll be back in just a bit.
A great football matchup brewing as Carroll University welcomes Wheaton College to Schneider Stadium this Saturday, October 21st. The Pioneers, 4-1, Thunder, 5-1, ranked 13th in the country and 2nd in the CCIW. You can catch all of the action live with Don, Johnny, and Triple G. Pregame at 12:30, kickoff at 1 p.m. It's the Pios and the Thunder this Saturday afternoon on the Shaw WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
From the number one album on this day in history. We'll tell you exactly when and more in today's history lesson and music break coming up a little later on this hour. Thank you to Wes from Middleton, who texts in to remind us the bread maker was just another casualty of the Big Bread lobby. They did not like losing those sales of their already half-stale loaves. So no bread making at home. You got to do it from scratch the way Sam's doing it. It is 46 degrees up here on Lake Wissota this morning. Madison, you're coming in at 51. Waukesha, 48. Over in La Crosse, 48. Wausau, 47 degrees for folks listening to Bull Falls Radio. Over at locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, it's 49 degrees. Green Bay at 51. And folks listening to The Buzz of the North in Hayward, you're at 50 degrees right now. The Badger women's volleyball team, top-ranked in the country, scored 11 aces in their match against Ohio State and swept them in straight sets last night at the Fieldhouse. They've now won 30 straight sets. It's the longest winning streak in the country, and they have now started the season with a match record of 18-0. It's actually also a winning streak of 27 straight Big Ten victories dating back to last season. That's all to say that you don't ever want to look past an opponent. And the Badgers were a little shaky in the first set. I watched a little bit of it on the Big Ten Network. But you could tell they are thinking about Saturday night when they go down to Lincoln. The number one ranked team, the Badgers, will take on the number two ranked team in the country, the Nebraska Cornhuskers. That will be 7 o'clock Saturday night. That game will be on the Big Ten Network as well. To the baseball playoffs, the American League Championship Series, the Houston Astros beat the Texas Rangers 5-3. Texas still leads that best of seven series, 2-1. So far, the road team has won all three games in that series. Game four is tonight in Arlington, Texas. Over on the National League side, again, the Phillies lead the Diamondbacks 2-0. And they will resume that with game three this evening. That in Phoenix. Let's see, the Packers play the Broncos this coming Sunday at 3:25. Aaron Jones says that he has pretty much healed his injured hamstring over the bye week, over the long break, and believes that he will be ready to go. Hopefully not re-aggravating it, but we'll find that out on Sunday afternoon. Let's unpack the news now at 844-967-2789. You can always email us as well, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. This is normally the part where I tell you that folks watching on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter can comment on those live video feeds as well. It looks like Facebook's having an issue with live video streams. We are airing right now on the Up North News YouTube page and the Up North News Twitter site. And the Twitter site for Bull Falls Radio out of Wausau. The Facebook pages will hopefully get those back up and running here real soon. Let me start with just a quick note about the economy. And this isn't going to be a big old business block here. But it was, folks were passing around a headline from Bloomberg News from a year ago. And the headline said something to the effect that economists now are 100% certain of a recession within the next year. And a lot of people were wishing happy anniversary to that headline because 1 year later, still no recession. Still people rooting for a recession, sadly enough. But so far, the things that have been done to manage the economy and to bring it in for a soft landing have been working. Incomes have been rising faster than inflation. The latest figures show that despite the pandemic and then a post-pandemic surge of inflation, real inflation-adjusted median family income was 2.5% higher in 2022 compared to pre-pandemic 2019, and that median family income is now at $82,000 in the country. For comparison purposes, between 2007 and 2010, median incomes fell by about 8% after the Great Recession, and they didn't get back to their 2007 levels until 2019. It was an extremely long recovery from the Great Recession, which I hasten to add was in large part because the Republican Congress during the administration of Barack Obama didn't do jack squat, except want to pass tax cuts for the rich. You'll recall it was Mitch McConnell who said, well, the only thing we're going to do is try to make Obama a one-term president. And they didn't do that. And in the second term, all they did was continue to further obstruct to the point of stealing a Supreme Court seat and doing nothing to help the average American with, again, that very long, slow recovery from the Great Recession. On the other hand, with the Biden administration and the first 2 years of a Democratic Congress, again, you did see inflation. You saw inflation worldwide, and now you have inflation being tamed more here than in any other developed country. A lot of folks like to say, well, you know, there was all that spending, the rescue plan and the Inflation Reduction Act and all of this. Yes, there was. And yes, that would lead to some inflation because you were in a recession. You were at the risk of deflation. That infusion of money, if you didn't have that, talk about being in dire straits. You know, this whole notion that all of that pandemic relief somehow went down a rat hole when the data shows it was anything but, when you look at, you know, how we are not awash in bankruptcies, we are not caught up in a recession or a depression right now. Actions were taken that were necessary. And by the way, not only by Democrats, in the early days of the pandemic, Republicans as well understood the need for bold action to, you know, fight what was looking like a calamitous economic borderline depression in the early days of the pandemic. Now, it didn't take long for Republicans to regain their original standing of being pretty much against any kind of, you know, public sector investment in the economy, but decisions had already been made, the die had been cast, and, you know, the economic numbers show we're the better for it. Housing prices continue their drive upward, but a lot of that is because of a long-term supply crunch. We haven't talked about that for a while on this show, but, you know, affordable housing stock has not been great for a long time, because it seems like construction has gone in only two directions, either McMansions or mansions themselves, or highly dense apartment housing, multifamily housing, and that it just didn't feel like anybody was interested in helping to build and sell the affordable stock of lower priced homes. And that's still the case. And so first-time home buyers are still having a rough go of it. But the other economic indicators show that things are going very well. Same goes for crime. For example, the FBI says murders fell 6% in 2022 year over year. And they are on track to be down 12% this year. And yet again, people think crime is worse than it really is. People think the economy is worse than it really is, because they get this steady stream of messages from people who are basically playing politics with their emotions, of saying, well, don't believe the data. You know, things are really, really bad out there. And some people feel like they have no choice but to choose to believe it because they hear it. It's on basic cable. It's on the interwebs. And so it must be true when it's really not. And it's really unfortunate. And so I felt like this was a good place to do a quick reality check on the economy and on crime. It's never to say that there aren't challenges there, but the folks who are inflating the problems so that they can get back in charge, again, just not the kind of thing we used to see in this country, but we're now at a point where people will say and do anything to win elections and get into power. Some headlines closer to home in Wisconsin. There was a man you'll recall a couple weeks back who brought guns to the state capitol twice on the same day. The first time to the governor's office, and then after he posted bail, he came back again and was arrested outside the Capitol. It happened again. Happened again on Tuesday night to the same 43-year-old man. He was released from jail on Wednesday afternoon after prosecutors declined to level any additional charges against him. He does face a misdemeanor count of openly carrying a firearm in a public building, and he's set to make his initial court appearance in court coming up this morning. He initially entered the Capitol on October 4th without a shirt, guiding a dog, openly carrying a holstered handgun. He approached Governor Tony Evers' office and asked to speak to the governor. Evers wasn't in the building at the time. He was arrested, then booked, then released on bail, returned to the Capitol that same night with an AK-style semi-automatic rifle. He again demanded to see Evers, was taken into custody, and he was formally charged this Monday with the misdemeanor firearms count. But now he was arrested again Tuesday night for carrying a concealed weapon without a permit, and he also had a police baton in his backpack that violated concealed carry statutes. Again, I think there's a need for tougher red flag laws, and maybe for the district attorney's office there to take an even harder look at this case and consider more stringent charges, shall we say. A former Supreme Court Chief Justice who is fighting a subpoena that orders her to appear in court in a lawsuit related to advice she gave to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss will not have to provide testimony. A Dane County judge ruled yesterday. Judge Frank Remington decided against a hearing that would require the appearance of former Chief Justice Patience Rogensack. Attorneys instead will hear arguments about whether Rogensack has violated Wisconsin's open meetings law. It all has to do with these panel that Assembly Speaker Voss said he was putting together of former justices to give him advice on whether or how to impeach current Justice Janet Protasiewicz. The liberal watchdog group American Oversight immediately filed a lawsuit saying that the three former justices and Voss were violating the state open meetings law and the state open records law. And American Oversight wants the judge to order the former justices to meet in public and to release all records related to their work. The judge decided first he would listen to a motion to dismiss the case before deciding whether Pat Rogensack, who has been looking to defy that subpoena, would have to testify as part of that effort. And then one more quick note to tell you about. How do you fight a book ban? How about a bill to ban book bans? That's what's been filed in the Wisconsin legislature by four Democratic members who are looking for Assembly and Senate co-sponsorships as well. The bill essentially would cut off state funding to schools and libraries that tried to ban books and media based on the author's political views, historical accuracies, and racial or sexual content. So we tip our caps to Representatives Jody Emerson of Eau Claire, Dave Considine of Baraboo, Chris Sinicki of Madison, and Senator Kelderoys of Madison, who are writing up this bill and looking for co-sponsors. It probably won't go anywhere in a Republican legislature, but it should, because that's the one thing that should be done with bans, is to ban the book bans and only have the rules in place for age-appropriate material. Back with Joe Zepecki after this. You're up north.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
CBS News Brief.
Wow.
New Israeli airstrikes are pounding Gaza a day after President Biden's visit to Tel Aviv, where he secured assurances of deliveries of humanitarian aid to Gaza. Mohsen Sarhan heads the Egyptian Food Bank.
At the border, there are around 120 trucks stationed there. And then you have also
around 7 to 8 cargo planes load of supplies.
Mr. Biden is back at the White House. He'll deliver a primetime address tonight. Congressman Jim Jordan's hemorrhaging support from fellow Republicans in his bid to become House Speaker. CBS's Chanel Call.
The growing group, including Jordan's fellow Ohio Congressman David Joyce, now calling for the Speaker pro tem Patrick McHenry to be made temporary Speaker, a move Jordan holds firmly against.
A second Russian-American journalist has been detained in Russia. She's charged with failing to register as a foreign agent. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Back now at 6:33 on Up North News Radio. Joseph Becky joins us. He joins us this time from the nation's capital, where he's whatever you do in the nation's capital. Is it lunching? Is it meetings? Are there a lot of whiteboards? How do things work out there?
I heard they needed a Speaker of the House, and I thought, hey, why not? I've been here almost 48 hours and still no Speaker, and nobody's nominated me yet, but, hope springs eternal.
I'm just imagining, I don't know how close you are to Mike Gallagher's office, but I'm envisioning the two of you on a split screen, both with your fingers crossed going, you're saying there's a chance.
as to the Mike Gallagher rumor going around, boy, I feel like we've seen this movie before.
We have. We certainly have. And I'm not going to make the accusation that it's a Mike Gallagher trial balloon floated by Mike Gallagher, but I can't say that I'm surprised.
But Paul Ryan didn't want to be Speaker either, right? He was dragged kicking and screaming.
Exactly. Which is why, by the way, why I put up yesterday the bold prediction, Minnesota's Tom Emmer
again, not that there's anything special about him, but it seems like when East Coast and West Coast, you know, realize they can't bridge their differences, they go looking for some Midwestern nice thing. Some would say patsy. And Tom Emmer might play that role for the Republicans. If it does, then it was my bold prediction. If not, nobody's going to remember, right?
Pat Kreitlow still suggesting there's room to meet in the middle, at least within the Republican Party. Getting harder and harder to believe that between left and right in this country and in our great state, isn't it?
Oh, God. Yes, so much so. Well, let's go ahead and tie a bow on what you're doing out there in D.C., or not you, but the race for speaker that's out there. And again, I always risk asking questions that are a little, you know, too much inside baseball, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I'm not surprised that Scott Fitzgerald supported Jim Jordan. You know, I mean, game respects game when it comes to insurrectionists. But the fact that Jim Jordan, he's kind of damaged goods, and yet Gallagher and Style and Derek Van Orden all went ahead and supported him. In any way, shape, or form, does that make things any easier for someone who would run against them next year?
Yeah, I think so. Because one of the issues of our time is protecting and defending our democracy. And what we now have are every single member of the Republican delegation in Wisconsin saying, I'm okay with someone who voted against the peaceful transition of power, who conspired with Donald Trump and his allies to prevent Joe Biden from assuming office after he won a free, fair, safe and secure election. Those Wisconsin Republicans, every Wisconsin Republican is okay putting someone like that in line to be president of the United States. That is, to call it problematic is understating. The voters of Wisconsin should know how cavalier certain elected officials are being with the Constitution and with our democracy. And now the vote is there to show it. So even though Mike Gallagher may have voted the right way on January 6th, 2021, he's now saying that he trusts in the leadership and wisdom of someone who didn't do the right thing on that day. Same for Brian Style. And so I do think it matters. These are choices, and these Wisconsin Republicans are making choices that are not going to look good in, you know, the annals of history. And frankly, to those who are in the know and paying attention, they don't look good right now. They look at best desperate for a way out of the wilderness. That's the nicest thing I can say about their decision to back Jordan, is they're so desperate for anybody to lead their caucus or their conference that they're willing to sacrifice whatever principles they were able to hold on to on January 6th. And that is a really depressing commentary about those public servants.
To provide support and cover like that for a fringe of the party so willing to attack norms. And I know norms is one of those kind of esoteric things, like, well, does that really matter anyway? Yeah, because, you know, they're there for a reason. Similarly, what the Republicans in the state Senate did in firing several appointees, fair disclosure, we talked to Melissa Baldoff yesterday, your partner as well, but to keep this at the general level of the Republican attack on norms. I've made the case before, this should not be normalized. This isn't politics as usual. I would like to hear that in your own words that are going to be better than mine as well.
I am trying to take as broad a view as possible, because I think one of the challenges right now is everything moves so fast and seems so urgent and important at the time that we lose the forest for individual trees. You know, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but like, for example, the rush on Tuesday by people on both sides of the Arab-Israeli conflict to accuse the other of bombing a hospital, a horrific tragedy, no matter why it happened or how it happened or who was responsible. I found myself in that rush to point fingers going, this is knowable information. that we're going to know pretty quick, right? You don't have to engage in the back and forth. You can just step back and wait for the facts to emerge. And so I don't want to rush to judgment on any one thing ever. I want to try to always take a step back and look at the broader horizon. Unfortunately, when I do that, it's actually even scarier, because what we are seeing at the national political level, at the congressional political level, and in our state political level on the Republican side are different chapters of the same story, which is an increasing willingness to dispense with the customs and norms and rules that made America the envy of the world, that shining city on a hill that Republican president Ronald Reagan described. And so whether it is Donald Trump with a 50-point lead in the Republican primary for president in 2024 after attempting to stop the peaceful transition of power, whether it is an inability from Republican members of Congress to get behind anybody unanimously, and so where they go is 90% of their caucus goes with Jim Jordan, who also voted against certifying the 2020 election. And then when you look at Wisconsin Republicans at the state level, after the 2018 election, the first thing they did was race to strip the executive, the governor of Wisconsin, of powers and the attorney general before they were even sworn in, because their political party had lost an election. Now that that Democratic governor is still in office, they are trying to undermine that executive authority even further. And I actually don't believe it's about the people they're voting against. I think it's about Tony Evers. It's about, they don't like that someone who they disagree with is still in charge. And that should be terrifying, that up and down the Republican Party, they are willing to dispense with those customs and those norms. What makes a democracy function is not the conduct of the victors. It is the acknowledgement by the losers that the people decided and made a decision, and that they have to respect that decision. And at every turn lately, it seems like the vast majority of Republicans, they're not having it. And that is deeply, deeply distressing and discomforting, and in a perilous time for our world, when a lot of people are really scared and frightened, the last thing we can have is one of the major political parties every single day of the week and seemingly twice on Sunday further undermining and eroding trust in government, in the Constitution. And we're seeing the cost of that. I know I'm like on one, but the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia just this week revealed a new study showing what they call a stunning number of Americans endorsing policies that would challenge the very heart of the US Constitution. That is the cost, is when these elected Republicans are willing to say the Constitution doesn't matter, winning matters. The way we've done this for almost 250 years doesn't matter. Me being in charge matters. People are now being driven further and further away from believing the Constitution matters at all. And that is a perilous place to be.
Which leads to this perilous question. Is behavior like this the dying gasp of an extreme right that is due for its comeuppance by the voters? Or is this a harbinger because enough voters will keep rewarding behavior like this?
I hope it's the former. I have to hope that. And what I would say to listeners who are ready to throw their hands up and are, you know, falling victim to what Republicans are trying to do, which is get you so frustrated you don't care, is no. You have to double down on being engaged and being involved and supporting candidates and public servants who do believe in the people and do believe in our democratic processes and norms. And if you are one of those nonpartisan types, you don't like associating with a political party, that's okay. If you're a Republican who doesn't like what you're seeing from your party, that's okay too. It is okay in this country to vote for candidates and members of political parties who you do not agree with on 100% of the issues. We need to issue a resounding rejection of this type of Republican politics that we're seeing at all three levels, because if the American people, if the people of Wisconsin don't resoundingly reject it, we will get more of it. The only way to make them stop is to take away their ability to do so, and that means less representation. And if they got to be out in the political wilderness for a little while, listen, it wouldn't be the first time a major political party was out in the wilderness for a while. As you know well, Pat, there was a long time in this country when there was never any chance of Republicans controlling the House of Representatives. And then it changed.
That's right.
It could change again.
Yeah. The fact that Governor Evers was so ready with replacements for all of the people who were fired made me wonder if he knew something was brewing, or, and I hate to sound cynical about this, there's about 185 vacancies or unconfirmed nominations out there, rather. Does he have about 185 replacements on standby because this was always a risk that Republicans might do this?
Well, it's the responsible approach to governing, to have those folks waiting in the wings and to have contingency plans. And that, again, gets to the difference, which is, at this moment in our history, one political party seems interested in governing, the other doesn't.
And that's unfortunate. We will follow it. I was going to follow up with you as well about some of the other things that took place in terms of bills that passed and didn't pass this week. I'm going to save it till next week. In part, you'll be back from D.C. In part, we'll see again what else happens besides the stadium bill, see if anything happens on workforce issues and all that. But the other reason I want to wait a week is there is now, I guess, a 50-50 chance you will be speaker. And so I may not get the chance to ask that follow-up. We'll see how things go out there as you measure the drapes somewhere
in a
out
contest.
There.
In a contest between myself, Steve Scalise, and Jim Jordan, I encourage you to take the field.
By the way, I mean, Hakeem Jeffries has now won how many races in a row? He's never gotten the majority, but the fact that he's always gotten more votes than anybody else, at some point, can we just give it to him since he's got more support?
I'll bet there's never been a member of Congress in American history who has won, you know, gotten the most votes in 19 separate ballots for speaker.
They can never take that away from him. Joe Zepecki, thank you so much. As always, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Always nice to catch up with him, even on, it was a bit of a tricky connection there from DC, but I know we'll get him back next week. Like I said, unless he's speaker, it could be any of us at the rate that they're going here. Sam, you make homemade bread. I mean, you pass that along to enough folks in the House, they might just say, hey, why not you?
If I make enough bread. For people, yeah, in Congress, then they'll make me speaker.
Look, seriously, I don't know what it is they're looking. What will make them happy?
If only that were, you know, the way into politics.
Oh, yes. The way to a politician's heart. Oh, wait, is through his wallet in some instances. That's unfortunate. All right. We'll get a look at today's music break and history lesson right after this on Up North News Radio for this Thursday, October 19th.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies today with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 60. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Scattered rain showers likely. Lows dip down to about 48. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Highs around 59. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 48 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Maybe I'm the last one, but I'm somebody who's, this song is on my playlist and frequently gets played with the knob turned to 11. That would be Roll On Down the Highway by Bachman Turner Overdrive. It was part of the BTO album Not Fragile, which hit number one on the album charts this day in 1974, along with You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. Kristen Lyerly has stumbled in as well to join us this morning. Dr. Lyerly, how are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
I heard Sam's making bread.
Yes, he is.
Yep.
I know. And that's the problem with the remote thing. If we were all in the studio right now, we'd all be sampling and, you know, maybe gushing over his baking prowess, or maybe saying maybe a little less sawdust, you know, in this.
Super distracted by that fragrance. I'm getting really hungry right now.
Well, and this from a woman who takes great pride in telling us how much she doesn't cook and bake.
I bake.
Oh, okay, you bake and bread as well?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Baguettes.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's impressive. I asked Sam this earlier, but he's a little young for this, but the whole bread machine, the bread maker craze when everybody had one. I know I have one in the basement. Did you go through that as well?
We use it probably once a week. My kids love
that. Use yours?
Yeah, I make baguettes and the kids dig it. That's like one thing that I can capably make.
Well, good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you're the one. Somebody still got that going. We mentioned earlier as well for folks, anybody that's tuning in saying, I normally watch you guys on Facebook. Facebook apparently is down for live video streaming right now, but we're still on the YouTube page, the Twitter page, of course, the Civic Media website, the app, and across the Civic Media Radio Network. So we don't have as many comments as we normally would come in, and people going, I still have a bread maker, and I still have a bread maker. But I expect that people will be using the text line as well at 844-967-2789.
The app makes it super easy.
The app, it could not be easier. Get that Civic Media app on your phone. We've got several birthdays today. Let's start with George McRae, who turns 79 today. You don't know the name George McRae? Well, if you know any of your 70s, you know, yacht rock stuff, you'll know this little tune. It was on this day in 1960 that the U.S. imposed a near-total trade embargo against Cuba because of Fidel Castro taking power. On this day in 1973, President Richard Nixon rejected an appeals court decision that he turn over the Watergate tapes. He eventually would, and things would not end well for him. Happy 75th birthday to the only consistent member of the Doobie Brothers, and that would be Patrick Simmons. So a lot of people think either Tom Johnson or Michael McDonald when they think of the Doobie Brothers, because they were the two main lead singers. But Patrick Simmons wrote some of their hits, sang some of them. And this one, Blackwater, was the first one where it wasn't like a hard rocking tune. And their record company was looking for one. And they're like, we don't have anything here. We have this, you know, tune Blackwater. And it went crazy up the charts and, you know, showed the Doobie Brothers they could broaden their range quite a bit.
And straight into Pat Kreitlow's heart.
Oh, absolutely. I still, again, I only have one concert t-shirt, and it was the Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan when they were touring together a couple of years back. Let's see, you're out in Green Bay. It's probably a national holiday out there that Lynn Dickey turns 74 years old today.
Oh, Lynn Dickey, still a legend.
Yeah. Jennifer Holliday is 63 today. If I told you, let me play a little Prince first, because it was on this day in history that Prince released his sophomore album, self-titled Prince. And on this day in 1979, it had this number one R&B hit. There were many more hits to come from Prince after that one. This is also a day, a birthday, happy 58th birthday to Todd Park Moore. You might not know Todd Park Moore, but
that's
you've
a lot of one syllable words right there.
But I don't know how he got the name Big Head Todd. But it's that guy from Big Head Todd and the Monsters turns 58 today. And then finally, thanks to an innovative music video, this was the number one song this day in 1985. Now, every one of us of a certain age has seen that video, you know, kind of took place in a comic book, you know, the sketches that kind of come to life.
It's genius.
It really, again, at the time, when you see something for the first time, the way that they were able to do that with digital video, it was pretty cool. And since the song was a nice little ditty as well, the Norwegian group A-ha had their number one hit. You know,
nice
back when people watched videos.
It's so catchy, though. I mean, you know, it wasn't obviously just about the video, because we still listen to that song.
Do you... this is maybe just me and a few other idiots, but to this day, I will sometimes go Google some song lyrics, realizing that I never really knew what something was.
Yeah.
So that part there where he gets really high, you know, he says, well, I'll be gone. I never knew what that was. And I finally looked and I'm like, oh, I'll be gone in a day or two. It's the word two that he's hitting that high note on. I didn't know that till, I don't know, a few years ago. I'm like, what are they singing in there?
You were really focusing on just hitting the high note, and whatever word came out of your mouth with the high note was fine.
No, I didn't want to hurt myself. So no, I didn't. I did not do that at all. Hey, you have some stability these days. That appears to be Green Bay behind you there. So
yeah,
congrats on that.
Well, I leave today.
Oh, for the weekend. the duties, they just go on and on. I'm very, very thankful that one of your many duties is hometown health on Wednesdays at 7:30. What are we going to be talking about?
Breast cancer.
Okay.
It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So we're going to talk about what this means, what the risk factors are, and we are going to talk about advocacy here in Wisconsin and how we can get some of these screening tests, actually diagnostic tests, paid for, and how you can help.
It is, we mentioned earlier in the hour here, one of those things where the Affordable Care Act, again, was a compromise to begin with. And a lot of us are never, ever, ever, ever going to forgive Joe Lieberman for killing the public option that should have been in there. Mm-hmm. But again, one of the things that people meant to come back to was covering the initial screenings, but then the diagnostic tests afterwards, you know, those should have been included as well. And yet every attempt that's been made to alter and improve the Affordable Care Act has been turned back, of course, by Republican opposition. So I think it's good that we're talking about the advocacy and people letting their elected officials know before it happens to them personally, you know, that there are things Congress could be doing to improve our care and our coverage.
Well, when I heard about, this is state stuff, when I heard about some of the stuff that was happening in the state, I thought, man, this really makes a difference for my patients. This solves a problem that I am commonly faced with, telling my patients, you have an abnormal result here. And that was a free screening test. I mean, we got that worked into Obamacare, but now you have to pay for the next test. I mean, healthcare is expensive, and many people don't get that follow-up test. And these are people who are obviously at high risk.
And again, no other country in the world has a system quite this screwy. We'll cover that at 7:30 here on Up North News Radio. We'll be back.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events?
Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.